Thank you, guys. Well, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? What do you notice that's different? Those of you who are members of the 1200. Yes. The chairs and lights. The chairs are, we used to have three sections. Now we have two sections. What was the purpose of that? Bring us closer together. And also the aisles are wider. Why is that? So that we won't be brought so close together. Right? So you have some room to scoot through, right? All right. So we have, and the light. There's lights. Because I'm brown, some of you couldn't see me. Now you can see me. Right? All right. Okay, good. Yes. Two chairs up front. Wonder what that's for. Counseling sessions. You want to come up, Anthony? You need to come up? Yeah, you got to pray for Anthony. Yes. Yes, Heather. The full drum set, yes. What about the carpet? Some of you bring coffee in here. We cleaned your mess. All right, okay. Also, I noticed something too this morning, that you guys are ready to worship. I mean, you guys were on time this morning. Wonder why you were on time this morning. Huh? Got an extra. So it wasn't because of our hearts toward what? Okay. Teresa said, don't be fooled. Worship starts when? Well, when you're at home. You know, and so at 10 o'clock, we want to worship God and give all we can to him. This morning, we're beginning our series entitled Thanksgiving Transformations. Thanksgiving Transformations. And I think it's going to be a really encouraging month, prayerfully for all of us, a life-changing, life-transforming month. And I wanted to share that as Paul, we talked about in communion, as Paul was sharing with the Corinthians, that God's, Christ's love must urge us and move us and control us and guide us. He goes on in the part of that letter to say this in verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone in a purely human way, even if we have known Christ in a purely human way. Yet now we no longer know him like that. Paul is saying this love of God, it compels us, it controls us. He's saying that from this point on, when you become a follower of Jesus, this love really should change the way you perceive everything. It should change the way you perceive everything. Relationships, politics, enemies, challenges, blessings, it changes your everything. Then he says, the next verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Amen? Old things have passed away. And look, new things have come. He's saying, Corinthians, you're acting like this, but I'm telling you, new things have come in your life. You're a new creation. Claim it. Let it compel you, his love. You're a new creation. Paul is telling them that there's a newness of mind, heart, and soul. And where does this newness come from? Their decisions? Where does this newness come from? Their convictions? No. It comes from God, and that's called regeneration. Regeneration. Regeneration is God's work. Regeneration is what God does in a person's life. Regeneration, we are not involved in this work. We are passive in this work. You can't even do this work. You can't begin to do this work. This is when God presents himself in our lives and we respond to God presenting himself to us, and that is called conversion. When we hear God, see God, and we respond, that's called conversion. Conversion is turning from sin and turning to God. It means we stop living in the darkness and we start living in the light. Regeneration, God's work, gives us light so that we can respond to him, and that is conversion. And in John 3, 19 through 21, this then is the judgment. That light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids evil so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes into the light. Aha, right, there you go. So that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God. So when we're converted, we're responding to the regeneration that's happening in our lives, and we can't take credit for it. It's God's work. Now, this is transformation. This is transformation. When God's work is shown in someone's life, that's transformation. When you can look at someone and go, I know he didn't do that. I know she couldn't have done that. It's the work of God. Amen? That's transformation. It's a change that comes from only a relationship with God. Not your effort, not your intellect, not your desire, not your convictions. It's God's work in your life. God inspired. It's God empowered. And it's God delivered change. This month's series, Thanksgiving Transformations, are all about that. And today, we're not going to do a sermon discussion like we normally do. We're going to do an interview, okay? And we're going to have a special brother that comes up. Everybody's special. So don't get offended. But we have a brother who has been converted, brother who has been regenerated, just like you, and who has responded to the call of God. And I'll have J.P. Swope, if he can come on up. And we got some chairs. Come on up here, brother. I'm kind of like Montel Williams today, okay? So you don't mind if we sit down, do you? You don't mind that, right? Okay, all right. And can you see us? Can you? Feeling all right, J.P.? Okay. All right, good to see you, too. Yeah, great. Now, I'm going to start off this. It's the interview now. This is JP and I, and then all of you. First of all, where are you from?
I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Evansville, Indiana. Okay. Yep. Anybody from Indiana in here? My wife. Joe, you're from Indiana. You were born there. Okay. My wife was raised there and went to school at Evansville.
Connorsville High School, though, right?
But Evansville University.
Yeah. Yeah, and U of E, okay.
It's a small, I like people from Indiana.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good. Okay. Feel more comfortable now.
Yeah, good. So now what brought you from Indiana, the Midwest, to this beautiful city?
A girl.
Ah, okay, girl.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I had been in the military. It's a longer story, but we ended up going to school to wrestle. Found out in school that when you just go and you just wrestle and don't go to class, that doesn't go very well. They don't let you wrestle much longer after that. And so I joined the military because that seemed like the next logical step. I wanted to jump out of airplanes.
Ah,
and
Pops, your dad wants to jump out of airplanes. He wanted to jump out of airplanes.
He's with us now.
Yeah, my father-in-law says that a real man will jump out of airplanes. And I said, a real man realizes that airplanes are to be stayed in and birds are to fly. That's just my opinion, you know. But anyway.
True. Yeah. So as things would happen, I ended up getting with a group of guys that tried to buy LSD from an undercover agent. And I wasn't part of that, but I got pulled into it. Hmm. And from that, I got real disgruntled. It was a big failure in my life. And then I got out of the military, and I got married immediately after that. She was stationed down in Crestview, Eglin Air Force Base, down the road. And we were newer married, divorced within like 9 months. Hmm. The only other person I knew in Florida was a girl I met at dive school from Key West, and she had graduated from UF and was a reporter for Channel 27 here in Tallahassee, Florida. Hmm. I didn't know what Tallahassee, Florida was at the time. But she was here, came here, ran the Springtime Tallahassee Run, and that's what got me here, and then church kept me here shortly after.
Gotcha. Okay. So you became a part of this church, 1200 Church.
Yes, sir.
And
20 years ago.
How many?
Actually, 20.
20 years ago.
September 27, 1998.
Wow. Awesome. Converted at 6, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So, okay. Now he's a family man. You're married now.
Correct.
How long have you been married?
We've been married 16 years.
Okay. All right. That's for everybody now. 16 years, and you have how many children?
3 kids, 2 planned, 1 God-given. But the third one, though, is amazing and wouldn't have done it any other way, but that was God's choice.
Okay, all right. So you have three little ones. You're married for 16 years. Now if you're visiting, you may not know this, but kind of our foundation statement is that as disciples, we want to follow him, Jesus. We want to be transformed by him, and we want to join him in his mission. So that's kind of our foundation statement. Now, going back to kind of your early calling, right? When did you first realize that Jesus was calling you into a relationship?
I think, you know, growing up, God was talked about. I think you said something earlier about in one of the scriptures about Jesus kind of being a human. It was more like that. Like he was a person. I believed it. I believed that there was a Bible and I should follow the Bible. My dad went to a few different churches. And he would do devotionals and stuff at the house. So God was around, okay. You know, like I understood there was a God. I understood that I wanted God in my life.
Okay.
At about 8, my parents got divorced. I saw people close to me try to hurt themselves in bad ways, try to kill themselves. And then I was split again, and I went to a different school all the time, you know, from 3rd grade till 7th grade. I was in a different school every year. I share that just to say at about 12, I remember getting baptized. And I believe that I lived a pretty good life. Like, as far as good, I was better than everybody else. You know, like, I didn't do those things. And if you asked me, I would say I was following God at that time.
Okay.
I didn't know any different. I think at 12, I did have a desire for God. There was a great desire. At 20, I was 19 or 20. It was when I was in the military. And, again, when I left high school, I was like, I was kind of king of a small town. There were 7,000 people. So anytime you did anything in a small town, it was amazing, and you were amazing. And, I remember I was on billboards when I left the city. We had gone to state, and I'm in the Hall of Fame there.
Wow.
It was all this kind of high level. You know, I felt good about myself. I was good. And then the college thing happened, and so that was a failure. The military thing happened, and that was a failure. While in the military, there was a big turning point in my life where one of the kind of staples in my head, I didn't follow the Bible. I didn't read the Bible. I would every periodically go and, like, pop it open. Read it. Oh, okay, yeah, boom, I'm good. Let's rock on, you know. Mm-hmm. But nothing changing, nothing transforming, kind of like what we're talking about. It was just something I did, and God was there. But I didn't want to have sex before I was married. That was like this, for whatever reason, that was in my head, is like, you don't do that, this one thing.
Hmm.
And when I was 19 or 20, as I was in the military, I had sex with a married woman. And that next morning, I remember waking up, it wasn't a relational thing. It was just a night thing. Got up the next morning. I remember thinking, I'm going to hell. Like, it was so, like, just, I don't know, just that's the way it was going to be. I was going to hell. And I believed that. And I start to live like that. So then I did get into drugs. I got into alcohol. You know, it was a short time, 6 to 9 months of just whatever goes. And let's go. Let's go. If I'm going to hell, might as well live it up. And so toward the end of that time is when I got married, got divorced. And I saw, and this was down in Fort Walton Beach, Destin area. I remember seeing my wife at that time. I went into this bar trying to find her. We were, you know, already having strains on the relationship because literally it was just a sexual relationship. And so I remember seeing her with her arms around another guy, kind of like this. And I walked in and I was just done. You know, like I wanted a family. I wanted a wife. I wanted those things. And so I remember leaving there. At that point, I knew we were getting divorced. We were going away. I went down on this dock and I remember just sitting there and I remember just crying. And I remember praying. And that for me was like a huge turning point, you know, for me, where I felt like I'd done all this stuff. You would ask me, I was following God, but then I heard him and I walked away from him, but he was still there. And I think that for me was where I first heard God again say, come to me, come to me. Even though, you know, I didn't feel worthy, I didn't feel anything. But that was where I felt like he really called me again to him and that he was there. What was the question? Did I answer the question? When did I first hear God's call to me?
God's call
like that.
Yeah, Jesus to follow.
That was when I feel like really I'd gotten to a point where I was at the end of me and my leading. Because again, was God around me? Sure, but I really feel like when I you know think of it in my head, God was never leading me. God was just around me leading myself. And so that's when I really felt like God was calling me.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, man. Appreciate that. After you recognized his call and you understood that Jesus' love compels you and you're following him, you're desiring to be a disciple, to be a true Christian, what were your first signs of transformation in your life? You being changed because of this relationship.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll kind of pick up right there because at that moment, even though I had that desire for God at a point, I started taking steps toward him. I wanted to start going to church. I had this book called Life on an Edge by Dr. Dobson. I don't know how I ended up with it, honestly, but I had it, and it talked about that time where you're like, you've got to make a choice. And so I started choosing to take steps toward God. And so I remember going to a church service, a random church service in Biloxi, Mississippi with some friends of mine. And this was pretty shortly after that. And I remember them doing a sermon. I didn't like churches. I had this weird thing about churches and how they just want to talk about what they want to talk about. It wasn't about the Bible, and I wanted to hear the Bible. And so I remember saying this little silent prayer going in that I wanted to hear the scriptures, and please let them talk about I want to hear the word. And it talked about the wise and the foolish builder. And I quickly, and those who know that scripture, you know, it's about a man who builds his life on a sand and then builds his life on the rock and being God. And so when the storms came in my life, I had nothing. I was washed away. And so that spoke to my heart, and that drove me to continue to look for God. And then shortly after that, on the campus of TCC, again, a girl brought me here, but God woke me up here, you know. And so on the campus of TCC, I was trying to get back in school. A guy named Eddie Zamora, many of you probably remember Eddie, and he met me out there and asked me if I wanted to hang out. And I don't even think he asked me, like, it wasn't like, do you want to study the Bible? He's like, hey, man, you want to hang out sometime? And I was like, absolutely. I was looking for friends. I had nobody. And he said he was part of a church and that kind of stuff. And I remember the first time he asked me, I'm going off tangent, sorry. But he asked me to go to a party. And I'm like, yeah, party. I want to go there because there are girls there. And even though I was still taking steps toward God, I still had this focus on females. And I said, are there going to be any girls there? He's like, yeah, I mean, probably, you know, there may be. It was totally just a bunch of brothers hanging out playing video games. But that's where I met a lot of guys. And
you stayed there.
And right? I stayed okay, because, okay. I mean, there was still, there was a desire for God. And then to meet some guys where they wanted to talk about God, they wanted to change for God, that's where our conversations went, because that's what they desired. And that's what I found in this church since then. As far as the transformation, so I think it was taking steps and choices toward God. The second was a transformation internally that you couldn't see, which was there was a hope. And I've always gone back to 1 Corinthians 13. It talks about faith, hope, and love. And so this hope was renewing in me that even though I'd done all these things, that God still loved me.
Gotcha.
And that built my faith. And so it all worked together. So I think it was this internal thing. There were external things that changed, but it was way more internal initially.
Gotcha.
Than all the external of purity and, you know, stopping having sex with the girl and moving toward purity in the in my life and my mind and all that kind of stuff. You know, not cussing, getting away from people that could bring me into that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
But man, it was so much more internal transformation necessarily than external right away.
Well, now you're an athlete. He was a wrestler, okay, in college, and being an athlete, you know, I mean, we have this desire to want to accomplish and this drive,
yeah,
right. So, what was driving you? That you're saying the love of God was driving you.
100%. I mean, the Reckless Love of God song that came on, I mean, that I'm in tears back here trying. I couldn't even sing anymore because it's so real, you know. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. So when I'm far away on that dock, God walks, you know, he sees me, and he comes and he rescues me. When I was your foe, so when I'm against God, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And those words are so powerful because it's so real in my life. And I've lived that. And even more, I mean, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's still today.
That's right.
That I can wonder in my mind and my heart, and he's still right there waiting for me to turn and look to him and snatch me up.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now, do you ever have you ever seen, like, for example, in Matthew 26, where Jesus is wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's wrestling to get on that cross, and he's debating, and have you ever just thought, wow, God always wrestles for me? You ever?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's still wrestling for you?
Always.
Yeah. 16 years later.
Oh,
no, I'm
20
sorry.
20 years later.
20 years later.
We wrestle in the marriage, too. But
oh, okay. it's a relationship, right?
That's right.
Well, let's talk about now. Let's talk about today. What are some of the areas today that you want God to transform in your life?
You know, initially when I hear that question, automatic, because I am a wrestler, I am driven to perform, to improve, all those types of things, and that becomes all about me. That becomes all about all the things that I'm going to do to get better, to transform. And so you said something earlier, too, which is where I go in real transformation is, number one, I want to remember. I want to remember all the things that God's done for me, how God's worked for me, how he seeks me out, how he walks with me, how he fights the battles. I want to remember that. And I all too often, I just keep going. I go to the next thing. I'm building the next thing. I'm moving on. I'm trying to help the next person. I'm trying to do these things. But in my life, I need to remember all those things that God has done for me and continues to do for me. And then secondly is stopping and listening. All too often, you know, we're learning about our part, their part, and God's part.
Yeah.
A lot in church now, you've probably heard that, those different roles. And too much in my life, I diminish God. I want God to have the largest part of my life.
Gotcha.
And to do that, I have to shut up, stop, and listen.
I guess it's kind of challenging to shut up, stop, and listen when you're a father of three, a husband, and assistant principal at Childs.
There's a little going on.
A little going on, yeah. A lot in your life. So you're asking God to steal your soul, and get you to kind of remember him throughout the day.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't know if there's another question.
No, go ahead.
But I need help with that. You know, I don't, what I found here, because I tried so much of my life to do it on my own. I didn't have that camaraderie, that brotherhood, the sisterhood, the people in my life to help me do that. And I found that with this church.
Mm.
I mean, I found these, I've got brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers that have touched my life, raised me up. I mean, I can go a story for just about everybody in here of how you have all guided me and loved me toward Christ.
Mm.
And even now today, as we're working toward launching life groups and those types of things, like, I love sitting with people and being able to talk about God and hear them and learn from them.
Mm.
I listened to Ariel last night as we're sitting, and he talks about, you know, the remembering part. And I kind of said it, and then he, like, emphasized it. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. Mm. That is what I'm designed. Yeah. I need to remember these things that are going on. But if I don't have those conversations with people, then I'm just moving on. It's just me. Mm. And so,
you think it's because you were a wrestler that you don't like team sports? Or?
It is a lot of that. I didn't like depending on people.
Ah.
It is. That's another transformation.
You see, I was a baseball player, so yeah. I can depend on people.
Yeah, you're a team
but
player.
Not this wrestler here. No.
You're a team player. That's right.
No, but I really appreciate, you know, JP, you sharing this, because it's obvious that, you know, once a wrestler, you've allowed God to wrestle for you and capture your heart, and 20 plus years later, you're still allowing him to transform your life through your relationship with him. And I appreciate you being my brother and being a part of this 1200 church. Man, you're awesome. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Stay with me. Just have three questions for you personally. And questions that were asked for JP. When did you first realize that Jesus was calling you to follow him? I pray that if you're here and you're watching this and you're reading this, that you can say, you can answer that question. This is the first time I realized I saw Jesus, I felt him calling you. And if you haven't felt that, if you don't understand that, then man, we wanna help and pray for you and help you in any way we can, because many times we ourselves didn't perceive him coming after us. We didn't realize that he was calling us, because many times we felt like we were too messed up. But God is always calling us. And the second question, and if you could just take these questions down. Ask yourself these questions throughout this week. What was the first signs of transformation in your life as a result of you following Jesus? In your life, when did you change? When the first your remembrance of you changing because you're following and you have a relationship with God, that transformation happened in your life. If you haven't experienced that transformation, again, God has put you at the right place for you to help that. For him to help that in you. And what are some of the areas of your life today that need to be transformed, that need to be changed because of your relationship that only God can do? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's a character. Maybe it's impurity. Maybe it's hate or bitterness. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's criticalness. Whatever it is, I want to tell you this morning that God can transform your life.
Amen.
And this is why we need each other. Because no one can wrestle alone.
Amen.
Right? I just took that from you, brother.
Good, I like it.
Amen. All right. Okay. Well, guys, we love you. Have an awesome day. And let's pray and think about these transformation questions throughout this week. You're dismissed. Have a great morning.